Good Friday morning to you. My name is Dr. Ackerley. I am the Friday host of The Morning Voice here on KVOI. On Mondays, we have Lydia Randa, who I saw last night at the Eat and Greet. We had a great time at the pad. We want to thank Andrew and Reva Mackey for an excellent, excellent venue. I want to thank Sally Lee and her sons, Christopher, Andrew, and Brandon, who brought the food. That was wonderful. And we had a bunch of people buying Thanksgiving boxes for our distribution, which is going to happen on the week of Thanksgiving to, speaking of schools, six schools in the South Tucson area. So St. John's and Santa Cruz are two of those, so that's fantastic. So we're going to talk a little bit about schools here in just a minute. Good morning to you, Matt. Thanks for all you do.
Good morning.
And you got a big event tonight. So is it tonight that you have the film?
That is Sunday. Thank you.
Sunday,
6:30 at Maroney Theater.
That's you.
It's called Legend of the Happy Worker.
Legend of the Happy Worker.
It's a David Lynch project. It stars Thomas Hayden Church. And again, it's part of Film Fest Tucson, and Herb's kind of retooling the way he does Film Fest. So thank you for the nod there.
I'll get back to you later today on that, because I'm probably going to be there.
Right. That'll be awesome.
Okay. Great. Well, this is a success on The Morning Voice on Fridays. We talk about organizations and businesses that do well in the first hour. In the second hour, we talk about Wonder, the good things going on at the University of Arizona. Our guest this morning for the first session is our friends from CTSO, Gracie Quiroz Marum. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
And Julieta Gonzalez, ¿cómo está?
Muy bien. Gracias, ¿y tú?
Good to see you both from CTSO and Catholic Education here in Tucson. So let's just talk a little bit first before we get started about the nuts and bolts of CTSO. Just tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got involved with Catholic education here. Let's start with you. Just tell us, Gracie, how you got involved in Catholic education.
Okay, the Arizona Catholic Tuition Support Organization, with CTSO, also known as CTSO, started in 1999. In 1998, there was a tax credit passed. Mm. School choice became pretty big nationwide, and the state of Arizona passed a tax credit. Okay, so this was in 1998. Unfortunately, we were not able to get our 501c3 ready. So CTSO started in 1999, and we had some great individuals that were very involved in the community. A lot of people know Charlotte Harris,
right.
Mm-hmm. Larry McDonough, mm-hmm. An attorney here in Tucson. We all got together, and we worked on a plan. So we started saying, okay, let's start this organization to fund all our Catholic schools. So it started.
Mm-hmm.
Our first, actually, director was not the first director of CTSO. A very well-known lady here in Tucson, Joanne Sayer,
mm-hmm.
who at that time was running St. Cyril's School.
Right.
She came on and she became the first director of the Arizona Catholic Tuition Support Organization. We have existed now for 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
After Joanne ran the organization for 5 years, I took over.
Mm-hmm.
I was running the operations for the Arizona Catholic Tuition Support Organization. So I took over, and the amazing thing about this, Ed, is that we provide scholarships to private education, and we do not just fund Catholic schools. Our main objective is Catholic education, but right now we're funding over 49 private schools across Arizona.
That's great. That's
mm-hmm.
great. And how about you, Julieta? How did you get involved with CTSO and you have a long history in education here in Tucson? How did you get involved?
I came to the diocese to work at the diocese probably around 2006. And at the time, Gracie was organizing the scholarship program according to Arizona Department of Revenue guidelines,
mm-hmm.
because it is funded through the private education tax credits. And at that time, the reorganization of the funding to the schools was taking place, and Gracie asked if I'd be interested in helping her out, because at that time I have always been committed to very, very high standards and excellence in education mm-hmm. for everyone, especially low-income students who deserve the quality education available in our schools. And we formed a very strong partnership and worked with her for about 12, 13 years, managing the scholarship program mm-hmm. to our Catholic schools. And as Gracie said, it evolved so that our mission at CTSO was to make private education available, accessible, and affordable for private schools throughout the state of Arizona.
And this is an important thing because obviously if a parent chooses private education for their child, then that means that by definition there's going to be some expense there. If you go to public school, obviously it's paid for outright by the taxpayer, but a private school, like a Catholic school, there's tuition involved.
Yeah. And, you know, in reality, let's face it, education is not funded. Public education is not funded correctly.
Right.
So depending on your zip code, it's going to depend what kind of quality education you receive.
Yeah.
So a child living in the foothills of Tucson, Arizona, is not going to get the same education from a child living in the South Side.
Right.
And Catholic education has been known throughout history that we always take care of the disadvantaged children.
Well, I feel disadvantaged. I feel like I'm just a disadvantaged child. I went to 6 years to Mother of Sorrows and had Catholic education. It was one of the Benedictine nuns when I was there. Precious Blood was there before I got there. And
Your tuition, your parents' tuition at that time?
I do remember throwing a $5 bill and an envelope mm-hmm. into the garbage during lunch and got in trouble for that. and $5 70 years ago was a lot of money.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people say, why does Catholic education cost so much more than it used to?
Right.
And I said, well, we used to have priests, nuns running education.
Right.
We don't have that privilege anymore. Now we have to be competitive. We have to pay lay people benefits.
You're very You know, there were brothers and sisters that were teaching in those, and it was part of their ministry to be part
of
that. And they, granted, they got free room and board at the convent, and they got their small stipend, but they weren't in it for the money. But a Catholic mm-hmm. education, South Point's a good example. In order to be competitive at South Point and San Miguel and St. Augustine, you got to pay teachers at least kind of
Competitive wages
with mm-hmm. with what the public school teachers are getting.
So correct.
In order to get those
and
good
benefits,
educators.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
exactly.
So it's expensive, and it's especially if you talk about facilities and all sorts of things, insurance, all the things that go into running an organization. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some money there.
The schools have to meet a certain standard, and certainly the educators themselves have to also meet state standards, and that costs money.
Right.
You know, the nuns, as you said, the nuns and the brothers and the priests are not teaching for free anymore.
Right.
So to bring forth, you know, quality education, you do need to invest.
Right. How does the state, the new law, relatively new, I think it's 3 years old now, I call it backpack money, where you're able to request some of that tax. So let's just use an arbitrary school. Let's just say that you're going to a high school here in Tucson and it's a private school. Can you use that quote-unquote backpack money and then combine it with CTSO money? And the money I'm talking about is the...
Are you talking about ESA?
Yeah.
Okay, Julieta, you're really
I call it backpack money. It follows the child as well.
Well versed in ESA. Yeah. I'll let Julieta answer that.
ESA came along and it really, really helped bridge the gap mm-hmm. between people who qualified for the private education funds at various levels, whether they were switching from a private school, from a public school to a private school, were low income. And ESA is basically available to all eligible students in the state of Arizona in a private school. And that helped bridge the gap for people who did not qualify for the low income requirements as set forth for the private school tuition set forth by the Arizona Board of Regents, where the ESA is being run by the Department of Education and therefore available to all eligible students. And that helped bridge the gap for people who didn't qualify for low income, but at the same time faced financial challenges to make the payments for private education.
Right.
So it really helped bridge that middle income family who maybe was above the income level for the low income private education tuition or funding, but still faced financial challenges because people, for example, who were making $100,000 a year but had four or five students, children in the household, were not eligible perhaps for the low income, but now had an opportunity to take advantage of this funding.
Yeah, good bridge. And because they're paying taxes. They're paying taxes in the public school system. So the idea behind it was take advantage of the taxes that you and your families are paying and take it out and move it over to the private education,
correct,
which is helpful. And like you say, it's a nice bridge to help them get through that, especially if they have multiple siblings going to school at the same time.
That's right. Pretty- and the schools, I don't know if you remember when you said you were at Mother of Sorrows, our Mother of Sorrows, schools used to give discounts for multiple students.
Right.
So if you had a good Catholic family with three or four children attending a Catholic school,
seven
in
oh
your
my
case,
gosh.
you got a discount for multiple enrollments, and the schools could no longer provide those discounts. Gracie, I don't think any of the schools provide
we
that
don't.
Anymore.
We don't.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It does not exist anymore.
Can't do it anymore.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about CTSO and how you can help and how people can take advantage of it. We're talking with Gracie Quiros Marum and Julieta Gonzalez from CTSO, and you're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. We're talking education, Catholic education here this morning with Gracie Quiros Marum and Julieta Gonzalez from Arizona's CTSO, and we're talking about how important it is for families to be able to have the choice to go and take their kids to Catholic education across the community. We have, I'm going to guess, we have many elementary schools still. We have three major high schools here. We have a Catholic university here. So Catholic education in Tucson is strong, right?
We are. We are. And we're growing. I mean, Cell Point saw a couple hundred kids they couldn't accept last year. And it's sad. You know, we don't want that to happen. We want to give every child that opportunity to be in the school. And you know, Ed, that every child learns differently. Not every kind of education, you know, we as a parent has to become aware of what's going to work for our child. And for us to be able to give opportunity for a family looking for a different choice in their child's education, we should make that available. I think, you know, I tell people, I don't think it should ever be a competition between public or private or even charter school. I think it's about families, parents making the right decision for their child. You know, and we're doing some amazing things here in Tucson. We have buses now. We're picking up kids from the south side because we don't have them. They all can't go to South Point. We don't have room. Or San Miguel Catholic High School because there's restriction. You know, we're picking up children at St. John's Catholic School, at Santa Cruz, and St. Ambrose, and we're busing them to St. Augustine High School. You know, we're
which is a larger facility and has a lot of room for growth there too. Yeah.
Correct. And so we're trying to be creative. So there is different opportunities for children, and there's some amazing things, like a San Miguel, what they're doing.
Right.
These are kids that were failing, you know, that were not succeeding. They have just created a school that is just amazing.
And they're blossoming, and they're going into the workforce and getting work experience. It is really amazing.
Correct. Yeah. You know, these kids, you know, they're first generation to even graduate, go on to college. Parents can, you know, some of these parents. We have a big minority. I call school choice, you know, the actual 21st century social justice issue, school choice, because we're helping kids in that for a long time never had opportunity for a different form of education.
Yeah. On Wednesday, I went down to the Catholic University of America's reception of inviting some families to come in who had just had new enrollees into the university. And, you know, juxtapose that to what we were going to be talking about in the 8 o'clock hour, which is the University of Arizona with, you know, in total about 100,000 students, maybe more if you add the global university, and then 100 kids that are going to Catholic university. It gives them an alternative to do something different and practice their faith at the same
Correct.
Time.
Correct. Right? No, and it's just about, like I said, what works for that child? What kind of, you know, setting, education setting works for that child?
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the process. First off, if you're a taxpayer, you have the opportunity at tax time to make a designation, right? Could you talk a little bit about that, Julieta?
Well, you have an opportunity to benefit from the Arizona State Private Education Tax Credit. Mm-hmm. And this is a dollar-for-dollar credit to your state tax liability.
Up to your obligation, right, yeah.
Right, yeah. Right. And for a single taxpayer for 2025, you can direct up to $1,535 of your state tax liability to a certified organization such as CTSO. Mm-hmm. And if you're married filing jointly, you can direct up to $3,062 of your state tax liability to CTSO and a private school tuition organization. And this is a great benefit, not only, as we've talked about, to the students for tuition, but it gives a taxpayer an opportunity to take control and direct a portion mm-hmm. of their state tax liability. And I think it's an absolute wonderful opportunity for taxpayers to say, you know, I want to direct my tax liability or a portion of it and make a difference, mm-hmm. make a difference in a child's life, you know, open up the opportunities that a good private education provides. And on top of that, you can stack this private education tax credit to your charitable tax credit in the state of Arizona as well, and really make a difference,
right?
You know, in your community, not just in education, but also in charitable endeavors as right. well.
So once residents all across the state make their contribution through their taxes, then you get access to that money and you begin to award that to deserving families and students. It's a process that they go through and a process that you go through to select the people who get some help, right?
We believe in, we use a third-party evaluator,
right.
Fair Inc., out of, and they do all our evaluation. We are a need-based organization,
mm-hmm.
so we take care of the ones that need it the most first.
Right.
You know, we do some, you know, different levels.
Right.
But our first priority is to take care of need-based scholarships.
Right.
We are funding, I mean.
And they may have that need-based scholarship, air quoting here on radio, but if they were going to public school, they would still need some help in some ways. It may not be just the education, but just clothing and mm-hmm. all the supplies and food and all the other things that young families need that are needy. And mm-hmm. so this is one way for us to help them get their education.
Yes, correct. The only thing CTSO can do, the tax credits can do, is tuition.
Right.
So we can only address their tuition tax credit.
Right.
So as I said, we do use a third-party evaluator mm-hmm. in order for us to be able to do our scholarships.
Right.
And we do a really good job. I think
Brighton, you do a great job.
We do a great job.
Yeah.
And I honestly, we are right now anywhere between 4,200 scholarships a year.
That's awesome.
And we're anywhere, I think our average scholarship is maybe 1,800.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So if an organization, a family was thinking about going to a Catholic school and or maybe they're in it and don't really know about this program, Where would they go? What do they do to find you?
So first of all, they want to visit a school. Make sure that there is
connect
yourself to a school. You want to make sure if you, and you can always change your mind about a different Catholic school. And once you made that decision, go on to our website. And on our website, there's a tab, say scholarship. And go in there and you apply.
Great.
And that's as simple as that.
Easy connecting, mm-hmm. right? Well, we want to thank you both for coming in this morning and talking to us about CTSO. Gracie Quiros Marum and Julieta Gonzalez, muchas gracias.
Thank you.
Gracias a usted.
Tiene un buen día, ¿no?
Gracias.
Ándale.
Que Dios te bendiga.
Sí. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You're listening to The Morning Voice. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. Don't sit under the apple tree with anybody but Mandy Kirkendall. We're here this morning on The Morning Voice with Mandy. Mandy is one of the family members and owners of Apple Annie's down in Wilcox. Good morning, Mandy.
Good morning.
Good to see you and hear you, and thank you for being with us. It's been a busy fall down in Apple Annie's, and as it always is, a big growth season and harvesting season, and so you had a lot of apples over the last couple of months and peaches and other things. What's going on at Apple Annie's now?
We've got pumpkin season. It's been a great season. We're in our pumpkin season now, full swing fall. There's pumpkin picking every day, hay rides on weekends, corn maize, sunflower picking.
You're called Apple Annie's because that's kind of the mother lode is the apples, and you do peaches as well. Tell us a little bit about the experience for people who haven't been to Apple Annie's. Let's first talk about the short drive east on I-10. It's not too far away from Tucson. Tell us how to get to Apple Annie's.
Yeah, it's a great easy drive, I-10 east to Wilcox. It's about an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half, depending where you are in Tucson. And the great part of the drive is there's no traffic. It's easy. Once you get to Wilcox, there's no traffic. It's nice. You're out in the country. It's peaceful. It's a really nice day trip. Like you mentioned, we started off the season with peaches in July. Picked out every variety we had as we went, got into apples, and we've picked out all the apples already. So yes, we're Apple Annie's. That's where we started, but we've added so much more. So it's not just the apple picking. Like I said, there's all the pumpkins. Plus we have our bakery with all the pies, apple cider donuts, fudge, lots more happening here besides apples.
So when we talk about pumpkin picking, and we have that you pick it experience, What happens? You pull up to Apple Annie's and you come inside, and then they point you to the field and say, go get yourself a pumpkin. Tell us how that all works for a family when they come down.
Yeah, so when you come down, we have three different locations, and I know that confuses people. We have the one right off the freeway, Apple Annie's Country Store, and that one's open year-round where you can get our pies, apple bread, all the good stuff there. And we have our orchard location, and that's where all the fruit is and the bakery, and we serve lunches on weekend. Then our produce and pumpkins is a further location out. It's about 10 minutes from the orchard. So once you get to the pumpkin patch area, you would get out. Depends what day of the week. If you're there on a weekend when there's hay rides, you'll see first the big hay ride barn going. You can go straight over there, check in, get your ticket, and go on a hay ride. Or you can get a combo pass to do the maize and the hay ride. Then further up, we have our veggie sales area where we have, you can still pick your own vegetables. There's tomatoes, peppers, chilies, green beans, squash. All that's still going on through the end of the month as well. And you can get already picked pumpkins up there. Or if you don't want to take the hayride, you can walk out to the pumpkin patch.
Right. And we've been down to the where you get the vegetables. It's kind of neat to go out into the field, especially if you have little ones. We have little grandsons, and that they just get to discover. They think that vegetables come from the vegetable bin in the grocery store. They don't really know. It's kind of amazing to have a little guy for the first time go out and see all the vegetables growing on the vines and pulling up potatoes from the ground and all that good stuff. It's kind of a neat experience for young people.
Oh, it is. Like you said, a lot of kids have never seen that. It's great. And we love seeing that. We love teaching, where your food really comes from.
Right, right. So talk about a little bit, you have weekend events going on now. So there's places to eat. They can get some food. They can buy pumpkins, and then they can also buy pies for the holidays and so forth coming up. What does a weekend activity look like for someone that comes down for on a Saturday or Sunday?
So if you go straight to the pumpkin patch, you can do all your fall stuff. And then we do have food over there on the weekends. There's a barbecue food truck that's set up over there. There's also kettle corn and lemonades you can get over there. If you come over to the Orchard location, we have a pancake breakfast. It's pumpkin pancakes with apple cider syrup on weekends from 9 to 10:30. Then 11:30 to 3, we're serving apple smoked burger lunches.
That's great. Tell us a little bit about the off of I-10 there, the little country store. That's a nice place to pop in if you're coming back and forth across I-10 there to pop in. You can get in and get out very easily. That's kind of one of the newer things that you've done. It's been there for years, but it's one of the newer things that you've done. That's been pretty successful. Tell us a little bit about the country store.
Yeah, so we'd always wanted to have a year-round location where people ask all the time to get our stuff when we're not open, because we're just open here on site the 4 months a year. And so that building became available. It used to be a pie shop years ago. Then it was vacant for a long time. And finally, it went up for sale and we were able to get that. It's been about 12 years ago now, I think. And we remodeled it and opened it as Apple Annie's Country Store. And like you said, people drive back and forth on the freeway all the time. They're able to get off right there. It's a nice, clean stop right off the freeway to get your pies. We serve lunches there Monday through Friday. And then get all your good stuff, or even just a quick trip down around Thanksgiving or Christmas to pick up your holiday pies.
Right. And you have a wide variety of pies, but obviously pumpkin pie and pecan pie, those kinds of things, the traditionals, they're delicious and affordable. Do they have to order in advance, or are they ready-made? Just go down and pick them up.
If you want something specific, we recommend ordering in advance. There is a pie order form on our website right at the top that you can order your pies. And we just ask for 24-hour notice, but you can come by anytime. If we don't happen to have the kind you want baked, we always have frozen pies to bake at home as well.
Right. You can take it with you and prepare it yourself. So that's great. So let's just talk a little bit about schools. And we just had the CTSO folks in from the private Catholic schools, but you do a lot of school field trips and so forth with little guys. Tell us about that program and how you handle all those schools that come down.
Yeah, so we have lots of kids, lots of schools that come out from as far as Phoenix out here to do a field trip and come out and spend the day in the pumpkin patch and do the corn maze. It's really popular, of course, in October for that. And we don't have an organized where we do a lesson with that any longer, but the kids just come out and pick their pumpkin, spend a day in the country, like you said, see where the stuff is coming from, cut it right off the vine. And then when we do have apples, we also have the kids come over here to the orchard. And they can go out and pick a bag of apples and set up and have picnic out in the orchards.
How many trips a year do you think you have? Is it dozens and dozens and dozens? But they just keep coming, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Especially at the pumpkin patch this week, I know there was days where they had at least five or six groups at a time out there.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so if someone hasn't been to Apple Annie's, you know, I can't think of anybody in Southern Arizona that hasn't been to Apple Annie's in their lifetime. It's a definitely must-see, must-go, must-do kind of a thing. We'll take a break here in a little bit, but just tell us if someone wants to know how to get a hold of you, how to get there, and how to make contact with you. That's the first threshold of where do I go, what do I do, how do I do it. So the website obviously is the contact point.
Yeah, so appleannies.com, real simple. There's lots of information on the website. It shows the three locations. You can click on each one to see what's happening there. And there's a map with directions to each of the locations. Like I said, the pie order form, harvest calendars on there showing what we grow throughout the year. And we always recommend calling or checking the website before you come down to check that harvest, a weekly harvest update to see what we're picking that particular week. Because some things we may say through October, but maybe like the apples we've run out by now. So yeah.
And you were a couple weeks ago, you were facing some weather and you had to get things ready for what was supposed to be a huge, huge storm. It turned out to be wet, but not as huge as what they thought. But when you're growing things out in the country like that, you got to be ready for all things, frost, deer, all sorts of natural occurrences, right?
All the challenges that come with farming.
Yeah. And how long has Apple Annie's been around?
Next year is going to be our 40th year. We're excited to celebrate that. So we're in year 39 right now. My parents started, the orchard back in the early 80s, and we opened to the public in 1986.
Yeah, so you basically grew up on the farm, and it's been a fun experience for you. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We're talking about Apple Annie's and how fun it is to go down there as a family or as a date weekend kind of a thing, and go out with the kids, go out with someone that's special, and go down and experience something different in Southern Arizona. We're talking with Mandy Kirkendall. She is one of the family members and owners of Apple Annie's in Wilcox, Arizona. And you're listening to The Morning Voice. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. We're talking apples, peaches, pumpkin pie. Apple Annie's down in Wilcox.
We get them all there, Dr. Ed?
We got them all. It's fantastic. We're speaking with Mandy Kirkendall. She and her brother are the operators and owners. The family owns Apple Annie's down in Wilcox. And Mandy's with us this morning. Good morning again, Mandy.
Hi. Good morning.
Well, you tell us a little bit about where we're getting close to the end of the picking season, but that doesn't mean that people can stop coming down to Apple Annie's. But we're kind of getting to the end of, obviously, pumpkin season. And so this is the last big weekend to come down and do the pumpkin picking, right?
Yeah, we are open 7 days a week through October 31st. But, you know, the majority of the people do come down on the weekends. Today will be a big day, Friday. Then Saturday, Sunday is going to be really big and still lots and lots of pumpkins. You don't need to worry about not finding the perfect pumpkin at all.
That's great. That's great. And it's just nothing more fun than to see little guys going out picking up pumpkins that are bigger than they are, trying to bring them back to the wagon so they can bring them into get them weighed.
Right, and the dads, too, try to get the big ones,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, hilarious, hilarious. Well, let's talk a little bit about you and your brother grew up on the farm, and Apple Annie's has been around for 40 years now, 39 years. Tell us a little bit about how it all started and how your folks got involved in that and how you guys grew up there in Wilcox.
Sure. My parents both grew up in Phoenix, and my dad graduated from college and got a job with the Arizona Game and Fish Department and got transferred down to Wilcox. And so they knew nothing about the area. They had never lived in the country. They knew nothing about farming, but moved out here and bought some land. And there was a lot of apple picking happening in Wilcox at that time with commercial apple orchards. And so they wanted to get in on that. And they planted the first 30 acres of apples along with my dad's parents, my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And the trees started, that was in the early 80s. And then the trees started producing in 1986. They had their first big crop and didn't know what to do with them because of the commercial apple market had gone downhill in those years between when they planted and when the apples started producing. So they decided to sell to the public and took out a little ad in the Tucson paper for selling apples, you know, 25 cents a pound, come pick your own apples. And people started coming out. Right away, we started pressing our own apple cider and started baking apple pies. And it just took off from there. That was in 86, 1988. We got picked up by, at the time, Price Club, now Costco, to sell our apple bread and apple cider. And that really helped get our name out there. And we've now gotten out of the wholesale. You can't find the stuff anymore, but you got to come down here directly to get the good stuff. And then it's just grown from there. We bought our produce and pumpkin patch 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then, like we said, we added the country store about 12 years ago to get those three locations.
Yeah, for a guy like me that grew up in the city, it's great. Our boys are in their 30s and 40s now. We took them down there, and they enjoyed going every year. And then we have some grandson, grandkids now, and we take them down there, and they just enjoy being frolicking around in the fields. It's just a really fun experience for everybody, and I highly recommend it. Hey, we got the holidays coming up here, and although there may not be apple picking and peach picking right now, there's gift baskets available. And tell us a little bit about what you can make up for the holidays for families and so forth, but also for businesses.
Yeah, businesses. I just had someone contact me from a business the other day. They're getting everybody for Thanksgiving a pie from their company. So they're ordering like 130 pies from us for Thanksgiving. For gift baskets, we do a lot of big gift baskets for individuals as well as businesses. We do our apple bread in them, apple butter. We have a lot of different products to choose from. We can do a theme for you, spicy, sweet, and we can work with you to come up with some gift baskets to send out. We have if you go to our website, we do have an online store where you can get some of our jarred goods and salsas and apple bread and apple butter. And we have some of our examples of gift baskets on there as well. And then pies, there's also on our website the pie order form to get your holiday pies ordered to come down and pick up at our country store location.
That's kind of a neat experience, too, to come down and get some pies that are freshly made with Arizona-grown produce. It's kind of nice to take that experience. It makes, when you eat that pie at Thanksgiving meal, it just makes it even that much more special just because of the trip that you made to go down and get it. And it kind of pulls it all together. It's a great family outing. So it's kind of neat. It's not too early for people in the spring. For if we have any teachers out there that are listening or principals and they're thinking about something fun to do for the kids in the springtime, start thinking about coming down to Apple Annie's. And also corporate ventures, get a bus full of people to come down and do it, and then maybe stop by one of the wineries on the way back and have a little bit of wine in Wilcox as well. So it's kind of a nice place to go for both school field trips and for business field trips, right?
Yeah, we have a lot of adult groups that come out. Corn maze and team building go together really well.
Yeah, you've created quite a tradition down there in Wilcox, and it's important that how long are you going to keep going? I know you're going to get a breather here in a couple of days and get a few days off, but it's a 7 day a week, 12 month a year endeavor, is it not?
It is. It's always a lot of work, and we put a lot into it, and we depend so much on the weather in the spring all year long. From the drought to the heat of last summer affected our trees for this year. We had smaller crops on the trees because of the heat and the drought. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't understand that. And we get people that so upset with us that we didn't have apples for them to pick, but mm-hmm. we really try our hardest to get the best crops we can every year.
Your 40 years, 39 years in business speaks for itself, but this show is called The Morning Voice, and we highlight success on the first hour. How do you define success? Gotcha.
I think, you shocked me with that, and that surprised me. So I think success, just doing what you love and having people come out and like you said, the tradition of bringing your kids out and now their grandkids out. That's what we do, and that's what we do it for families and to make memories. As long as we can have a family come out and make a great memory, that's success to us.
Well, that's fantastic. You and your family have done a great job of providing wonderful traditions and memories for people all throughout the years. Matt, you and I need to go down there and get some apple cider.
Indeed.
And have some fun.
You had me at apple pancakes. And yeah, my goodness. And apple smoked apple burgers?
Oh, I'm all
good
in.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I'm all in. Well, thank you, Mandy Kirkendall, one of the owners of Apple Annie's. Thank you for all you do for the Southern Arizona community and the state. And we'll be down to see you soon. And thank you for joining us on The Morning Voice.
Thanks for having me.
This is KVY 1030 AM, The Voice, and this is Tucson's live local talk radio, and we'll be back with Wonder from the University of Arizona right after the break. Welcome to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley on this beautiful Friday morning. We got a little school theme going on here on this Friday where we talk about Wonder at the University of Arizona. We started out with some folks from the Catholic Tuition School Organization, CTSO, and scholarships and how they can help students get on their way. We'll kind of talk a little bit here in this segment about high school and how important that is to the growth and development of our community. And then we'll talk a little bit about what's the connection with the University of Arizona. Our guests for this segment are Jenny Bond. She is the president of the Catalina High School Foundation. Good morning to you, Jenny.
Good morning.
And we have Carl Oxnam, who is the business teacher at Catalina High School, award-winning, I guess we should say, you're an award-winning teacher at Catalina.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you. And with us also is Dr. Norma Gonzalez. She is the principal for Catalina High School. Good morning to you, Dr. Gonzalez.
Good morning.
Let's start with you, Dr. Gonzalez. Let's just talk a little bit about you and the wonderful school that you have the opportunity to be in charge of. You have an interesting statistic I'm going to throw out to you. 48 countries who speak 48 different languages. So you have a very eclectic school. I may have those numbers wrong, but tell us a little bit about Catalina and what a wonderful place it is to educate young people.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having us on the show. And you're right. We have a very diverse student demographic, and it fluctuates, you know, anywhere between 36, 40 some in terms of countries that our students come from. And the languages that are spoken. And so, you know, we value that diversity, we embrace it, And it's definitely one of the highlights of Catalina. This is my fifth year there, and we've seen some really awesome improvements and, you know, just trajectory moving upwards towards academic achievement, you know, a thriving sports program, thriving career and technical education programs. And so, you know, with the faculty and staff, the awesome faculty and staff, were able to, you know, just move towards that academic excellence. And, you know, it's just a really, really awesome place for students to be in as we develop and foster community. And so the sense of community is felt by faculty, staff, students, and community. And so, you know, we're very proud in ensuring that we, you know, we foster that.
Right. Dr. Gonzalez, it's just, you know, the history of Catalina High School over the years. It's I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say it's probably close to 65 years old now, maybe a little bit older than that, going strong. And there was a time when, you know, the powers that be in the school board and other places talking about consolidating some of the schools. Santa Rita was on the block. Even Palo Verde had some discussion, and Catalina was certainly there. Boy, you make a case for why it's so important to keep Catalina going strong and the fantastic kids that are there from all over the world, and what a great place to educate your high school student.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Catalina's the location, we're centralized, and so, you know, it's critical to have that location to maintain that availability for our families who are located centrally. What we know is that population, students, you know, families, it's more dense towards central west side of Tucson. And so, you know, we have students that come to us from all over Tucson. And so, you know, we're fortunate, and the location is critical in that area. You know, we have a lot of students that live in quite a bit of apartment complexes in the area. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we are home to all of those students.
That's great. You know, you can't teach students without good faculty members. You've got one of your faculty members here with us this morning, Carl Oxenham, and he is a CTE, Career and Technical Education business teacher, and award-winning advisor of the Future Business Leaders of America. Good morning to you again, Carl.
Good morning.
And tell us a little bit about your program and how unique it is, and how these young people that are at Catalina High School are experiencing, you know, I teach at the Eller College in Management and Business, and many of them come through after they've gone through your program at Catalina. It's kind of nice to have that tie. And tell us a little bit about what you're doing with them at Catalina High School.
Well, I think, imagine you're 14 years old, you're in your second, third week of high school, and your teacher asks you to build a resume.
Mm.
14-year-olds today have very little business experience, very little work experience at all. But my strategy is to get them to open up and realize all the good that they do, mm-hmm. and all the different types of things they should build a resume. They turn a resume in to me every single quarter, and our goal through the 2-year program is to get them to add a dozen or more items.
And so, build on their experience and record that experience for the future, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when they get out to, when they apply at Eller, they have to show their resume and show what they've done. And part of getting into the University of Arizona is their grade point average. But the other thing is their things that you're giving them, this experience that they have and how they've engaged with their community on their way up the ladder. So that's really great. Tell us a little bit about the Future Business Leaders of America program. You've got, if you look at this, you have, you've given me these numbers here of how amazing some of these statistics are. Have you been a 12-time state champ? Is that what that says?
That's 12 points above the state average.
Oh, I see. Okay.
On the statewide test.
Oh, on the statewide test. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Got it.
Right.
So go through some of these numbers with me and kind of just tell me what sets FBLA apart from what you're doing.
So FBLA is Future Business Leaders of America. That is a career technical student organization. All CTE programs match up with one of these organizations.
Got it.
And they provide the framework of opportunities for our kids to grow. Mm-hmm. The best part about business is you can grow in different directions. We have lots of competitions. Mm-hmm. We attend leadership camp and leadership conferences. And with the support of the Catalina Foundation, it really makes it a lot easier. But my students, they compete with students from across the state. Some of them do public speaking. Some of them do prepared written tests, a wide variety. So FBLA just creates the opportunity. And they also have a list of activities. If you complete them, we did last year, we became a national champion chapter.
Right. That's where that good advising comes from. I'm looking at some of these things that you're doing, the Microsoft certification, the team building exercises, the regional medals role play, which is important. We do a lot of that at the Elder College. Mock interviews, how valuable that can be for a young person to do a mock interview so they don't go to their very first interview and not know what they're doing, and great. And just your overall success rate here, you've built a really powerful program. You're a product of Catalina yourself, right?
Absolutely, yes.
You were telling me you're teaching in the room you were a freshman in when you were going to Catalina.
Yep. Back in 1982, I was a freshman in the same room I'm teaching in now.
So what does that feel like to be at Catalina for your career as well as your academic high school?
Obviously, the bodies inside change, but it's nice to touch. I taught there and 01 to 07, athletic director and coach, and really got involved. Left it for a few years to go to the central office, but retired, came back to my old room when I had the opportunity during COVID. And just lightning in a bottle, these kids are just amazing.
They're great.
Hungry for opportunities.
So, Dr. Gonzalez, what do you think about this guy that's providing this experience for your business students?
Oh, we're fortunate. We're fortunate to have, teachers such as Mr. Oxnam that don't limit our students and really, don't underestimate their ability. And what I've seen is our students are thriving. Like Mr. Oxnam said, we're winning, we're exceeding state averages, and our competitions are top-notch with other schools such as, UHS and whatnot. And so we're right there competing, and our students are doing an outstanding job thanks to the instructional guidance that Mr. Oxnam provides our students, and all the out-of-school experiences, them being able to engage in internships with businesses around Tucson, just invaluable skills that he helps them to develop.
That's fantastic. I'm on the campus of Catalina High School on a frequent basis. My good friend and colleague Herman House is a district office there for interscholastics, and he and I have conspired, and my brother Bill and Janet Hare over the years. We're in our 16th year of Coaches for Charity, and he was one of the ones that helped us bring the MLK tournament to Tucson. We're in our 21st year of the Martin Luther King basketball tournament for high school kids at McHale Center. And so I stumble around your campus quite frequently because I go see Herman. Hey, none of this would be possible without the support of the foundation. Jennifer Bond is the president, co-president of the Catalina High School Foundation. And Jennifer, we're going to talk a lot about this when we come back after the break, but pretty impressive to hear Dr. Gonzalez speak and to be with Carl and hear what they're doing. I bet you're pretty proud of what the school has been able to do over the years.
I'm super proud. I was graduated in 1966 and was the valedictorian and class secretary and cheerleader, so I'm still being a cheerleader.
Congratulations on that valedictorian. That was a big deal back in 66. It still is, but that's pretty amazing. And so your heart is with Catalina, and you're a Trojan. You're going to be
I'm a Trojan forever.
That's great.
Go and blue.
How long have you been with the foundation?
I think I started in 2004. I worked for the National Science Foundation and came back to Tucson to help take care of my mom, and I immediately got involved. It was right after they started, pretty much from the beginning.
From the beginning, right. Yeah, that's great. And when we come back after the break, we'll talk about how the foundation supports Mr. Oxnam and his program with FBLA, and how it supports Dr. Gonzalez and the whole school overall in trying to provide funds and resources and fill in the gaps between state funding and what they can get from other donations and so forth, and what the foundation can do to support that. We'll come back and talk with our folks again from Catalina High School about what's going on. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. On Fridays, we talk about the good things happening in business during the first hour and during the second hour at the University of Arizona. We call this Wonder, and Wonder is sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant in historic 4th Avenue. It was just there Wednesday with a group of students from the ad team. It was wonderful. The folks there do a fantastic job. If you haven't been to Caruso's, you got to make the effort to go down there. 93 years on in business, and we've got the 4th Avenue people coming up with us in just a minute, and they're going to talk about historic 4th Avenue. And our other sponsor, we're just so pleased to have them on. They're asking about maybe continuing their sponsorship for another year. We want to thank Hughes Federal Credit Union for all they do for The Morning Voice and for helping us spread the good word about the good things going on in Tucson. We're talking this morning with Jenny Bond. She's the president of the Catalina High School Foundation. Dr. Norma Gonzalez, she is principal of Catalina High School. And Carl Oxenham, he is a business teacher at Catalina. Dr. Gonzalez, what a privilege it is to be a principal for 5 years at a wonderful school like Catalina, and tell us about what it means to you in terms of your own personal development and getting to the principalship and being able to lead that wonderful team you have at Catalina. Okay. We'll tell her that she had the opportunity to talk good things about her staff and she wasn't here. Jenny, you're running the foundation, and you have a co-president, Stephen Jin. You have looking at the list of people on your board of directors, it's pretty amazing. Carl, of course, is the secretary, and you have a lot of wonderful graduates and other people who want to help preserve and make sure that Catalina is robust and serving the students. Tell us a little bit about the foundation, how it supports his program, but also supports just the school overall.
Yes, thanks. I wanted to mention Stephen Jin. He also is the editor of Bear Essential News, and he started his journalism career at Catalina, working with the trumpeter.
That's amazing.
So couldn't do it without him. But started.
And Catalina needs to take credit for Stephen's career then, so for the rest of his
that's
life.
That's right. And we started the foundation right before the 50th anniversary of Catalina. And we give many grants to teachers, both in academics, for sports, and for extracurricular. And we also give scholarships to the some of the seniors. So we think we really make a difference. And, you know, a lot of times all of our public schools need help, but the teachers can submit a request, and we're pretty fast in turning around those requests. So we've given a lot of different books to the library, both in English and other languages. And we've helped the STEM and the science. For instance, we've been helping set up an aquaponics lab. Right. And we've given help to all of the sports. A lot of times, nowadays, they have to have a fee to be in these championships. And so we've often provided the fees for that.
That's fantastic, yeah. And where does that money come from?
It comes from our alums. So we reach out to all of the alumni of Catalina. You can be a member for $25, or you could be a life member for $250. And also they give even more than that occasionally.
You don't have to be a Catalina graduate per se if you want to help out.
Have everyone's help. Yeah. It really makes a difference in the students. I want to also mention we have all of these students from different countries. They really appreciate the education. They're anxious to get it. Some of them have been in refugee camps. And but we also have, and I always say, because I told them I felt like we were lucky when I was there that we had two foreign exchange students. And they have all of these students, and they get along well with each other, right, and learning from each other. And we have not only foreign students, but USA students that are living here. So they're learning how to be good Americans too. It's a very interesting cultural
That's really cool.
Yeah. development.
The foundation support of the teachers really allows them to be creative and think outside the box. Ooh, if I only had a couple $100, I could do this. Well, teachers get to do that experience. We have one teacher across the hall from me has classware furniture that is at different heights and levels. So there's a standing station, a sitting station, and that's, you know, expensive stuff. She came forward, a foundation came through right away and funded it. So there, it just allows teachers to get more involved and get excited about what they're doing.
One of the connections with the University of Arizona, since we're in Wonder Hour on the Morning Voice, I'm looking at some of the information that you've provided here, and there's lots of people who are alumni from Catalina who went on to the University of Arizona, got their undergraduate and doctorate degrees at the U of A. And I wanted to just give you one shout out that I think is important. Jeffrey Rain, who was a Catalina graduate back in the 60s, he went on to become he was pharmacist by trade and went on to become the CEO of Walgreens and was in that position for a couple of years. He retired back here to Tucson for a little while. He taught at the University of Arizona Eller College for a few years. And wonderful, wonderful family, and they're Catalina Trojans, and that's a good thing to be. So you've got a lot of that going on in some of the graduates that you have and go on. And from your perspective, how many of your kids in your classes go on to the University of Arizona, try and stay in Tucson and try and be active in education here in Tucson?
So I guess official numbers that we collected was from last year, there were about 40 seniors who were admitted to the U of A and 21 enrollment.
That's great.
Well, right at the end of May, but many more did. A lot of them go first to Pima and then to the university because it's a little less expensive.
Right, do the 2+2 program. Yeah,
right.
Get their gen eds done early at Pima, and that's a really good program. And they're all matriculate, I guess they call it, when they get from Pima over, and it fits perfectly like a glove, and they can go on to their junior and senior year in their chosen, hopefully it's business, so that some of your students go on to business.
I wanted to mention that in our scholarship program, we interview the students, and one of the outstanding things last year, for example, every single one of the students voluntarily said how much it meant to them to be at Catalina, how supportive the teachers were, and that they just love this environment. And I think that's really important in helping them.
I'm going to turn that question right around back at you and ask you, why are you the president of the foundation, and what does it mean to you personally?
Because I love Catalina, and I feel like we're really making a big difference in the lives of those students and helping our community. They're being integrated into our community, and they're given the opportunity to excel in whatever career they're going to be. And they really love education, and they appreciate it.
And Carl, you went on to go to district leadership, and then you came back into the classroom. What does it mean to you to teach at Catalina, the place you grew up at and the place you're back teaching?
Yeah, well, being out of the classroom, you always hear the teacher says, those administrators, they've got to try to teach these kids these days. I wish they would try. Well, I just said, you know what, let's do it. And I came in during COVID in the middle of the year. They'd had a sub for like 9 weeks, and it was rough. But some of those were my golden kids. They just graduated as seniors now. And one of them, and we're talking about scholarships, I had like three get U of A scholarships. She got the Obama scholarship to go to ASU, full ride food, and she passed it up because she wanted to be a Wildcat.
I love it. I love it. Well, special thanks to you, for Jenny, you and the foundation, what you do for the school overall and for the teachers and specifically for the kids. And Mr. Ockton, thank you so much for mentoring these young people. This is the good stuff that goes on in Tucson, and we want to let the world know that good things are happening at Catalina High School. Special thanks to our guest for Wonder this morning, Jenny Bond. She's the president of Catalina High School Foundation, Dr. Norma Gonzalez, principal of Catalina High School, and Carl Oxenham, business teacher and advisor for FBLA at Catalina. Wonder is sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant and Hughes Federal Credit Union. You are listening to The Morning Voice. We'll be back with 4th Avenue Merchants Association after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is Friday, where we talk about good things going on in Tucson. Our success is on the first hour between 7 and 8, and then between 8 and 9, we talk about Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. And We had a great session with Catalina High School where they move students on to the U of A. And hey, you guys are the people that are in the studio now. My students are on 4th Avenue all the time. We welcome our guest to Wonder, Casey Anderson, Executive Director, and Daniel Matlick from United Fire, who is also the President of the 4th Avenue Merchants Association. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
I was just saying earlier that I was at Caruso's on Wednesday on 4th Avenue, and there was hustle and bustle and people everywhere. The food was delicious at Caruso's and 4th Avenue. I was with a dozen students from the University of Arizona. We had a delightful time, and a couple of them took off, about half of them took off and went and did some shopping up and down 4th Avenue after dinner. It was really kind of cool. So I call that the spirit of 4th Avenue. So tell us a little bit, Casey, about what 4th Avenue is and why it's so unique in Tucson's character.
Sure, really. 4th Avenue is really the heart of Tucson. It's been around for quite some time. It's got that vibe. It's very eclectic. You can eat, shop, stroll, drink. It's really a rite of passage for those kids coming from the U of A. I know when I went to the U of A, I spent a lot of time. Ed, I'm sure you spend a lot of time on 4th Avenue when you were at the U of A.
And Sunlink is there. It makes it really easy.
It does, and it's free. You got to love that. Yeah. So it really is the heart of Tucson. It's what brings our entertainment district together. It connects downtown to Main Gate. And it's just something really, really unique and special.
Great. Daniel, you're a business owner. You and your family own United Fire down on 4th Avenue. Have been there for years and years and years and do great work. But you're also the association president. Why 4th Avenue? Why isn't United Fire located in Vail or in the outskirts of town? Why right in the middle of 4th Avenue?
Great question. United Fire was established in 1968, which I think is the same year as your advertising agency.
You are correct.
Been only there a long time. But my family bought the company in 1977. Mm-hmm. It was already established on 4th Avenue. Mm-hmm. So back then, I was still a high school student.
Right.
Literally grew up on 4th Avenue. Mm-hmm. And it's such a welcoming and enjoyable environment to have a business, right? Yeah. Instead of being in a business commerce park or some outlying area, we are, in downtown Tucson. We're in the heart of everything, and we're walking distance for our guests to restaurants, entertainment, hotels.
3 minutes in either direction, you got 17 choices either direction you go. So
So it's just we could be anywhere, but it's been a great environment and it's entertaining. And so we've just always stayed there.
Yeah. Casey, most Tucsonans who know about the heart of Tucson and know about 4th Avenue, one of their biggest memories perhaps is our knowledge of the 4th Avenue is something we call the street fair. And it happens a couple times a year. We got one coming up in December. Tell us a little about the history of the street fair and just what it is for those people that may not know what it is.
Oh my gosh, if they don't know what it is, shame on them, because we're going in our 56th year, 57 in 2026. It's been around since the early 1980s. It's an amazing little creature, really. Right. It's a love-hate relationship for me because it's a lot of work. But it started off as a sidewalk sale. It started off as the merchants going out on the sidewalk, setting up their tables and showcasing what they had to offer in their stores. And it's morphed. It's definitely morphed. We are, I say we, because it really is a community tradition. It's 56th year coming up in December. It's free, always been free to the public to attend. Always a lot of things happening, but it's really designed to bring people to 4th Avenue and showcase what we have to offer there. It brings about 300,000 people over 3 days, twice a year. So about 600,000 people come to our town or come to this heart of Tucson to shop and dine and eat and enjoy the performances and the musical acts and visit with local merchants and sponsors. And it really is something different every single time. You just gotta love it. You just have to come down and experience it. That's the best way I can describe it, because you have to be there, feel it, taste it, smell it, touch it. Yeah. That's really what the street fair is all about.
My students from the University of Arizona love the street fair, and they talk about it, and many of them pick up the Christmas gifts before they head home for
that's
the holidays.
That's exactly right. The winter fair is renowned for that.
Yeah, well, people wait to come and shop, and they come from all over Southern Arizona, actually internationally as well.
So you've been in leadership of the Merchants Association for a long time, and you're trying to support your fellow businesses on 4th Avenue. How important is it to kind of have this collaboration between the merchants and to continue this presence together and come together as an association?
Oh, it's, yeah, it's so important. We're a neighborhood.
Right.
You know, 4th Avenue actually started as a neighborhood, and it wasn't until 1916 when they built the 4th Avenue underpass that it became, you know,
a thing.
A commercial corridor connecting downtown and the university.
Right.
And that's when business started to thrive. And it's that those mixes of business and services that makes 4th Avenue such a unique environment. And I think it takes, you know, our board is all volunteer.
Right.
We have like an amazing paid staff, and they continue to inspire me for everything that they do to help the community. And having the eclectic nature of all the businesses and everything that they have to contribute to the community is really what makes 4th Avenue special.
Right. Our guests this morning are Casey Anderson, Executive Director, and Daniel Matlick, who is the President of the 4th Avenue Merchants Association. And Daniel and his family also own United Fire on 4th Avenue. One of the things, I was just up in Mesa, Bill and I were up there just doing a photo shoot, and we were commenting that up in Mesa, you know, Chandler, Gilbert, and so forth, they don't have as much of a homeless situation, or at least it's not obvious as it is paper down here in Tucson. And, you know, you go to basically any major street and you go down on the corner, there's a group of people and so forth. And then there's, you know, some people associate crime with some of that and so forth. What amazes me about 4th Avenue, it was just down there Wednesday, you don't have that problem on 4th Avenue. You've got people out there helping people, and it's like you say, a neighborhood, and it's an amazing, very safe, clean, wonderful place, and even people who maybe are a little less fortunate than others can still be there and have a good experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's an interesting dynamic because we really embrace the people that live in the district, whether in a house or unhoused.
Right.
We have a work program. We hire them. We involve them into our events and into our family.
That's wonderful.
And it really creates an awesome dynamic down there. And there's a level of respect and appreciation and independence that I think some of those residents find from us being down there.
I think it's great. It kind of is a good example for the rest of us and the rest of the city to think about. So what are some of the challenges that are facing 4th Avenue? Well, thank goodness there was the federal and state and local municipal government got together and got us the SunLink, which is the wonderful streetcar, which they've said for many years they might add some distance to it on either end. But it has been important for 4th Avenue to have SunLink run right down the middle of the street. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. It has really done a lot to connect the different business districts. So the Main Gate Square and downtown, the Mercado. Yeah. It's driven development.
Right.
Investors are coming in, and they continue to come in.
Some big living quarters are being built on different places.
Yep, yep.
It's amazing.
You know, more people want to live downtown now. Right. Some people want to abandon their cars and be able to just walk. And that's the thing about 4th Avenue. It's walkability.
And one of the cool things, you know, I'm a U of A football fan, as I'm sure you are too.
Absolutely.
And I've got a friend, likes to park at the Mercado and grab a little something there, come along 4th Avenue, hop off, grab something, and then head to the game and be dropped off right by the game. And so I think To me, that's just a win-win for downtown and the University of Arizona to have that connection between the two.
Yeah, and you know, the transportation department's got a lot of initiatives. So the streetcar is certainly powerful, and you can see everybody there. But, you know, we also have the bike share programs, the scooter programs. So there's lots of ways to get around, you know, downtown.
And Casey, your job as the executive director, you have to work on the other side of things, the operational side, the insurance, the public safety, the parking, the growth, and all the things that happen. So you're big, you have investment of time with the city of Tucson and the powers that be. Pretty good relationship, I think. Huh?
Absolutely. We have to work very closely with them, collaborate on a lot of different things, work together and find solutions to some of the challenges that I think we see all over the city. But having that relationship and that strong relationship is really important for us.
Well, you're a good person to do that because you have that personality to make that happen.
Thank you.
We'll come back in just a moment and talk a little bit more about the historic nature of 4th Avenue and talk a little bit about what's coming up in the future. Our guests this morning are Casey Anderson, Executive Director, and Daniel Matlick, who is the President of the 4th Avenue Merchants Association. And you're listening to Wonder, celebrating the good things going on at the University of Arizona, brought to us by Caruso's on 4th Avenue and Hughes Federal Credit Union. We'll be back after the break.
All right, everybody. That's what I'm talking about.
Welcome back to Wonder on The Morning Voice. Our guests this morning are Casey Anderson, Executive Director, and Daniel Matlick from United Fire, who is President of the 4th Avenue Merchants Association. And Wonder celebrates the good things going on at the University of Arizona, brought to us by our wonderful friends at Hughes Federal Credit Union, and sponsored also by Caruso's Italian Restaurant, proudly on 4th Avenue for 93 years. It's been an incredible run. I was telling you guys during the break that Sal Zagonia, who was the son of the original Zagonia's family that started it, and now Andy Motzkin is the principal family member that's running it. She's a great niece or grandniece, whatever you call that. Wonderful person. Sal Zagonia was a U of A professor for 40 years at the University of Arizona. And Caruso's has a great relationship with the University of Arizona. So that's why we celebrate Wonder. U of A has its tentacles everywhere. And so does 4th Avenue, which is amazing. So both of you, let's just talk a little bit about balancing the 4th Avenue, that 93-year tradition with Caruso's and 1916 when the avenue started and so forth. Kind of balancing that with the high rises that are going in nearby and the La Encantada malls and the beautiful, the malls and so forth. Tell us a little bit about how you keep that historic, eclectic charm going.
Well, it is a balance. You got to move forward. You can't stand still. E-commerce has been, one of our challenges. Having those historic businesses like Caruso's, the shanties, also 75, 80 years old, it makes us special. And we have over 50 historic buildings on 4th Avenue. That's how we got our historic designation, surrounded by historic neighborhoods and parks that have even more contributing factors, and that's what makes us a unique destination compared to any other mall. So I think we're a destination when for both locals and for visitors, and when people have guests coming to visit their families in Tucson, I don't think they're saying, hey, let's go to Park Place or let's go to La Cantata.
It's development is inevitable. We embrace it on 4th Avenue.
Right. Well, just like anything else, 4th Avenue's there. It's no different than, I guess I'll point a personal privilege. My brother was the director of the Boys Corps for 45 years. And after he retired, but we laugh about this. You ask people, well, when's the last time you were have you ever seen a Boys Corps in concert? Oh, yeah. When's the last time you were there? 1984, and sometimes 4th Avenue gets a little bit of that where, like you say, people go to their convenience spot. What I like to do is I like to go down to 4th Avenue and choose a different restaurant that I haven't been to in a while and then part of that is going to one of the little stores on either side and kind of just walking in and seeing what they have. It's kind of a fun, exciting thing. And you just have to think about it and get yourself down to Fourth Avenue. Of course, your job is to promote Fourth Avenue.
Absolutely.
And make it front of mind awareness of people. So that's a powerful thing. So why is Fourth Avenue, if you, like you said, family in town is one reason to come, but what if family isn't in town and you're just kind of looking for something to do? Why is Fourth Avenue a good call?
You know, there's always something to do. You can shop, dine, eat, drink, explore. There's
entertainment always.
Great people watching. I think probably one of the best places in Tucson.
Every once in a while, you can just kind of just go into a restaurant and there's someone playing.
Absolutely. A performer.
It wasn't actually announced or anything. They're just in there playing. It's kind of cool.
Yes. And you know, on any given weekend, we might have an event going on. You know, we always have something going on down there. This weekend, we have our Trick or Treat on the Avenue.
All right.
Brings out about 40,000 people dressed up during the afternoon. Bring your families. It's something for everybody. An all-age type of event, and you can stroll up and down, eat, shop, dine, maybe get candy from the different shops, and it just will be a really great time.
And it's safe.
Safe for the kiddos.
Absolutely. Right, yeah. So how long are you going to stay as president? Are you like Idi Amin? Are you in for life?
He's
a lifer.
Seems that way. It's been over a quarter century.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
You've been helping out for a long time. And I'm sure the other merchants appreciate it because being a president of an association, everybody's got an opinion and everybody wants to tell you how to do things, but you've been able to lead them with some real grace, and I'm sure they all appreciate it.
Very much. I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't be a lifer, you know, and it's, I think part of it being a good leader is creating an establishment that's going to live beyond you and be successful.
But you're so good at it. And they like you to do it. So.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. So we're trying to, recruit new board members.
Right.
It is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
And in today's society with multi-working parents and everybody, it's time. We are a small business.
Right.
There's not, you know, hundreds of people working at the businesses, so they have to have time to come in. And that's where our staff comes in. I mean, I've been inspired by our amazing staff all these years.
Well, wonderful. You guys are great. And we're going to get some people down to for the Sunday event and get them down for the December 4th Avenue Street Fair. Special thanks to our guests for Wonder, Casey Anderson, Executive Director, and Daniel Matlick, United Fire, who is President of the 4th Avenue Merchants Association. Wonder is sponsored by Caruso's on 4th Avenue and Hughes Federal Credit Union. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Matt Neely. We'll see you Sunday night, and you're listening to The Morning Voice.